Monday, June 11, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So yesterday I covered a very important point made by Lee Camp of Redacted Tonight, and that was that the United States currently drops 121 bombs a day on countries around the world, which is about one every 12 minutes, which is shocking to say the least, but it also led me to go to the point that if I found it incredibly interesting that it just so happens that the unaccounted for $21 trillion from the Pentagon just so happens to be the exact amount of our current national debt, which if you're interested more about that, check out yesterday's video, but I just found that to be entirely too coincidental. But that being said, there's another point that was brought up in the comment section, actually, that apparently was made by Bernie Sanders recently, which is something that I've actually touched on in the past. But I found it important and relevant to yesterday's show to bring up today, which is the fact that apparently it's being circulated now that the United States is militarily engaged in 76 countries around the world. But they could also make the claim that it's 134 countries around the world, or you could say that it's zero. Ultimately, it depends on how one defines the terms being used in regard to this information. And I believe when Bernie Sanders was pointing this out, he was pulling it from a specific study that was discussed in a few different publications, one specifically being the Business Insider, which essentially pointed out that the United States is militarily engaged in 76 countries in regard to fighting terrorism. I pointed out in the past, I think around 2014-15, that the United States is engaged in 134 countries, at least at the time. I would imagine it's probably engaged in every single country of consequence at this point around the world. But it comes down to the terms being used and how it's manipulated. Because 76 alone is absolutely mind-boggling when you think about it. But really, we're involved in many more countries than that when you just don't make it about terrorism. Where, you know, there's all kinds of different reasons the U.S. military is involved in countries all around the world. But when you really take a moment and stand back and realize 76, 134, the point that the United States is involved in that many countries around the world is staggering. Then you realize that we're dropping 121 bombs a day, one every 12 minutes. Kind of makes sense. But it also, we should also ask ourselves why something that's been around this long, this kind of information, why is it only all of a sudden important when pointed out by someone like Bernie Sanders? Clearly because that reaches a lot of people in the mainstream circles that might not have otherwise seen this information. But it's something, like I said, that we pointed out a long time ago. But we have to begin to realize what's really going on around the world and start looking at this information, or rather finding this information for ourselves, and realize this has been going on for a very long time. And really, if you're someone that is shocked by this information, that the U.S. is currently involved in over 130 countries, ask yourself why you did not know that. Ask yourself why such an important topic, arguably the most important topic, one that is carried out in your name, one that is funded with your ever-increasing tax dollars, is one that you know so little about, all while you're being told you know all there is, that you know all you need to know. At least if you believe the mainstream media, that is. And for the first story of the day, coming from the economiccollapseblog.com, the big secret the mainstream media doesn't want to tell you about America's soaring suicide rates. This week, two celebrities took their own lives, and neither of them seemed to make any sense to pretty much everybody addressing the stories. Kate Spade's handbag designs had taken the fashion world by storm, apparently, and she was supposedly living the kind of lifestyle that millions of Americans really dream about, but they really shouldn't at the end of the day. It's all about consumerism and possessions, but clearly that's what we're, you know, designed to, or rather manipulated into thinking we want. But really it's something that many Americans would have really strived for. But the fact that she hung herself with a scarf from her doorknob seemed really odd to me, but that's another conversation altogether. Anthony Bourdain was roundly loved and respected by both sides of the false two-party paradigm, and his book, Kitchen Confidential, is currently the number one bestseller on Amazon, even after all these years. And his Parts Unknown series was pretty much the only reason to watch that ridiculous clown car of a network. So why would people that seemingly have everything going for them to some degree or another decide to kill themselves? It's a very good question to ask. This article touches on some things about suicide and depression within the United States that the mainstream media does not want to talk about. As he says in the article, just follow the money to discover the very disturbing reasons why. Now, I'm going to give you a quick run over of the most important statistics as I saw it within this article. As always, I highly recommend you read this article for yourself, written by Michael Snyder. It's an excellent article and really does kind of draw out the most important aspect about this. But there's more to it than just this one point, which I'll get to in a second. Now, on average, 123 Americans commit suicide every single day in this country. And now suicide has become the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Now, among between ages of 10 and 34, however, it's now the second leading cause of death. Suicide rates in the United States have risen nearly 30% since 1999. Think about that. That's a shockingly quick rise, 30% in that short period of time. Clearly something's going on. Now, this is among both sexes, by the way, all races and ethnic groups and all urbanization levels, as they put it, not just a trend that's affecting one particular demographic. Because there are some points that could be brought up with different, you know, trends happening today that could affect one thing or another, but this is pretty clearly showing you that it's a pretty broad sweeping concept that everybody's increasing their rate of suicide, which is very shocking. And virtually all age groups as well are seeing major increases. Hospitalizations for suicidal thoughts and attempts at a children's hospital specifically approximately doubled over a 7-year period. Doubled. That's, I mean, they're clear at a 7-year period, that doesn't just happen. Something is involved there. Suicide among men aged 45 to 64 increased 43% from 1999 through 2014. Now, clearly, this is where the statistics end. I imagine it's continuing to get worse. I mean, clearly, that's what this is being written about. Right now, we're seeing it talked all over the mainstream media. So clearly, as these statistics come out, I guarantee it's going to be even higher than that. But 43%. That's like 50, that's 50% at give or take probably today. So that is a shocking thing to see. The suicide uptick was even higher among women in that age group, he points out, though more men died from suicide. So interesting point there. The use of antidepressants and other mind-altering drugs rose almost 65% between that same time period. Very interesting correlation between percentages there. Clearly, this is something we've talked about quite a lot. But when you show these statistics, it's very hard to deny. Numerous scientific studies have shown that there is, in fact, a link between antidepressant use and suicide. The biggest review of clinical trials ever conducted found that the use of antidepressants doubled the risk of suicide for those under the age of 18. Doubled the risk of something that's supposed to be to do the exact opposite. Now, as the author notes, in the case of Kate Spade specifically, he's confirmed that she was in fact taking antidepressants. Her husband's own statement said, she, quote, she was actively seeking help for depression and anxiety over the last 5 years leading up to her death, seeing a doctor on a regular basis and taking medication for both depression and anxiety. So, I mean, we pointed out before, there's a pretty strong prevalence today. So it doesn't, you can't necessarily say that's guaranteed to be it. But the fact that we continue to find this correlation needs to be noted on. Now, Anthony Bourdain, obviously, we talked about it, has struggled with depression as well. And the author notes that considering the fact that he had been dealing with incidents of severe depression for many years, could it be possible that he was also taking antidepressants? Absolutely. Even likely when, like I said, the absurd prevalence of the use in the United States, it's more than likely that most people are. And that's why we're seeing, in my opinion, such an obvious rise in suicide. Now, it's another important point to make here that Anthony Bourdain was known to have been taking, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, but it's Chantix. Chantix is essentially, as their own site points out, a non-nicotine prescription medication that can help you quit smoking. Now, as their own website says, some people have had new or worse mental health problems, such as changes in behavior or thinking, aggression, hostility, agitation, depression, depressed mood, or suicidal thoughts or actions while taking or stopping Chantix. So yet another prescription drug with a side effect of depression and suicide. Clearly, In my opinion, there's a very obvious connection here. Now, between 2008 and 2013, at least 544 suicides and 1,869 attempts in the United States were connected with Chantix, according to documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act and reported by Al Jazeera. So that you really cannot ignore that kind of a connection there. So the likelihood that he was taking antidepressants along with a prescription drug that also caused these exact kind of things is pretty hard to ignore. Now, the author finishes by pointing out that the mainstream media will never address this link because they do not want to harm their relationship with the big drug companies. The major news channels are bombarded with one after another with drug ads, and it's their major source of revenue. Today, the pharmaceutical companies spend more than $6 billion a year on advertising. So that's 6 billion reasons why the mainstream media does not want to tell you the truth. Now, to make this as thorough as possible, there's many other things that came up in my mind that connect to this. Now, clearly antidepressants, pharmaceuticals, antipsychotics, psychotropic drugs in general are very clearly a connected point here. But we also have to understand that there are more things going on. Now, one of the points is very touchy to talk about today, but it's something that's very, you know, very connected in my mind to this rise in general, is this kind of normalization of gender fluidity as some kind of pop culture trend, making it just okay for children who have no understanding of what they are, no idea what's going on in their life, barely understand anything outside of what they're being taught by TV and everybody else, are all of a sudden thinking they're changing their genders and getting sex changes. It's crazy, in my opinion. Like, do whatever you want with your own body. But the moment that it happens like that, or when you're being forced this kind of idea, I think it plays a factor on the people's mental states. That's something we have to consider with this clear rise in that kind of mentality. Pornography is another interesting point to make. It makes very unrealistic expectations for people. Kids very, very young having access to this. It's been proven many times over that by continuing to watch this and not being able to perform. And the prevalence of pornography in people's lives today is astounding. And we have to realize the very clear documented effects this is having on people's lives and the way that they view the world. I personally think that's a huge factor involved in this. We also have to understand the general desensitization to war and violence and, you know, gaming and all these things that are involved in manipulating the way that we see the world and having us kind of just desensitize us to so many different things. I think that absolutely plays a factor. And then we also have to consider social media, social programming, the way that this is manipulating the way that we see the world and to a point to where we literally need these social media interactions or this validation on a daily basis, or it affects us in a very serious way. And really just the general rise in mental illness caused by many different factors that I could go in a whole show about. But all of these things, I mean, diet, obesity, all of these different things that factor into things that I could make entire shows about, in my opinion, all can join to add to this problem. But very clearly, I think antidepressants and all of these different medications are the overlying main point to make here. We should also ask ourselves why this is only just now being presented to us as a problem from the mainstream media, why it's kind of being forced into our consciousness. These stats and connections and the correlations to antidepressants and suicide, as well as antipsychotics and psychotropic drugs in general, we have known about these for quite a while. The government has been aware of this for quite a while, and the drug companies even longer. So why now? Why just now are we being introduced to this? That's a very good question we should be asking ourselves. But the bottom line here is that regardless of all of this that we know and have known for a very long time, it's still moving forward. They're still giving them out. Everything's still happening just like the opioid epidemic, the epidemic. It's clearly continuing to even get worse despite all of the rhetoric. So we need to ask ourselves why that's happening. Who's behind this? Who's fueling this? And who profits? Always follow the money. Who profits from all of this? That's the biggest point to make there. So good food for thought, question to think about in regard to Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade and where this is kind of all going. I think there's a lot more involved in that story. I mean, it's too hard to report on because it's a lot of speculation, but Anthony Bourdain hangs himself with his bathrobe. She hangs herself with a scarf from her doorknob. Both have the kind of like weird indirect connections to Haiti and the Clintons. It's just very weird stuff going on there. Nonetheless, there's something else going on in general. So it's worth investigation. It's worth looking into more than you're being told by the mainstream media. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com. Treasury Department sanctions another five Russian firms for cyber attacks, aiding espionage. The Trump administration slapped sanctions on five Russian firms today and three of their executives on allegations of engaging in cyber attacks and assisting Russia's military and intelligence services, just generally assisting their military and intelligence, which I find just such an interesting term, interesting accusation that these companies are working with their government. I mean, that seems very interesting for them to be able to just make that as some kind of a bad thing and then literally give sanctions to another country based on the fact that these companies are working with their own government. Very interesting. According to the Associated Press, the companies affected by the Treasury Department sanctions are Digital Security and its subsidiaries, ERP Scan and Embedi, the Kavant Scientific Research Institute, and Dive Techno Services. The men impacted all specifically work for Dive Techno Services. The sanctions were passed under legislation passed last year by Congress about punishing efforts to hack into U.S. computer networks. The sanctions will freeze any assets the targets have in U.S. jurisdictions and bar American firms from doing business with them. The sanctions followed the Treasury Department's decision in early April to punish seven Russian oligarchs. I find it interesting that the site used that term, and 17 top Russian government officials, as well as 14 entities, including private and state-owned firms. Digital Security allegedly provided material and technological support to Russia's federal security services, while Dive Techno Services purportedly procured a variety of underwater equipment and diving systems, including a submarine for Russian government agencies. Again, I just find it incredibly interesting that simply because this company is working with their own government and their own agencies, that that's just worthy of sanctions. I mean, clearly they're making this about more than that, about cyber attacks is the overarching point. But this one specific company, Dive Techno Services, the only claim they're making is that they provided equipment to the Russian government, which is their own government. I find that incredibly interesting that this is the case. I mean, think about Amazon, Facebook, any number of NGOs or munitions companies working directly with the United States government. Is that not the exact same thing? I find that very interesting. We've seen the lies about the Skripal case embarrassingly implode, revealing all involved. We saw the recent Ukrainian false flag expose itself before it even got off the ground, all clear attempts to demonize Russia. Now, I'm not saying that Russia is not guilty here or is not capable of cyber attacks. First of all, the U.S. conducts them on a regular basis. All leading countries do this as often as possible. That's the big hypocritical joke when this type of thing is directed at Russia alone. But with all the lies that they've tried unsuccessfully to pass off against Russia, we deserve some evidence if this type of action is going to be carried out. That is, if the American people are indeed still the ruling body of this nation and not some rogue government faction. My point is, some evidence of any kind would be nice, but I wouldn't hold my breath. As Ray McGovern just pointed out in an article for Consortium News, still waiting for evidence of a Russian hack. So the U.S. has yet to prove that allegation. And all the recent lies and attempted deceptions, and we're supposed to just take them at face value here? I, for one, think it is pretty obvious what's actually going on, but make up your own mind. Moving on to the next story coming from the freethoughtproject.com, California found to be harvesting newborn DNA for decades without parental consent. Every individual who was born in a hospital in California now has a sample of their DNA stolen and kept in a state-run database. What used to take a court order now happens regularly, and the disturbing invasion of privacy takes place with hardly a whimper of protest from the nation's most populous state. According to a report from CBS San Francisco, the DNA of every person born in California since 1983 is stored in a state biobank. Police, the government, and outside researchers have access to it. While parents can request their children's DNA samples be destroyed, the state is apparently not obligated to honor the request or to report if it has or has not been carried out, which is just absolutely ridiculous. All under cover of a simple blood test meant to identify and potentially prevent congenital disorders called the newborn genetic screening test, which the article does point out definitely has some preventative measures involved and it does help plenty of people. But the ultimate point is that it's happened largely without parental consent. In what may seem as far-fetched as NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden's revelation that the government is spying on all Americans, which we now very much know is true, such DNA could potentially be used against children in a court of law or be sold to potential bidders, much like Planned Parenthood reportedly does with aborted baby body parts. What scientists can do with one's DNA is limitless. Now, whether somebody wants to just blind themselves to this and just convince themselves that it's for scientific purposes and the betterment of humanity or whatever nonsense, the point is that we have proof in the past of people in exactly this position doing so for profit or for malicious reasons. We talk about baby Alfie and the point that the hospital involved in that admitted prior to that incident that they, in fact, were guilty of selling body parts without consent to pharmaceutical companies. I mean, this kind of thing very much does happen. But there's much more involved when you consider where we're going in the future and the idea of cataloging everyone's DNA. That has to be alarming to everybody. So to end today, I want everyone to truly reflect on just how little we know about what's actually going on around us, what's actually being carried out with our tax dollars in our name around the world. I want everyone to reflect on how we are conditioned and programmed to just not think about it, as if it's not our right, our duty, to make sure these criminals do not do exactly what they're currently doing. They want us placated, drugged up, and pacified with our TV and fake news media that feed us pop culture nonsense and one-sided extremist narratives that keep us at each other's throats over the most unimportant, divide-and-conquer, moral outrage tabloid information, and our ever-expanding opioid epidemic that is fueled by the U.S. government's very own opium trade and its continual failure to do anything meaningful to stop it or hold any of those who were knowingly involved accountable, and their intentional ignorance to the fact that the very drugs we are given for depression and suicidal thoughts, when all the lies get to be too much to handle or ignore, just so happen to double its possibility. And yet, they still dole them out at unprecedented rates right now, this very moment, with the information in hand, all while they invade any country that stands in the way of the real agenda while bombing whoever still supports them. They pump us full of drugs we don't need, steal and sell our DNA, organs, and personal information to the highest bidder, and they do it all and much more while telling us it's our patriotic duty to ignore anything that suggests their motives might be in any way impure. It's time we started seeing this for what it is and started getting angry about it. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.